You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Oh, we are so back on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lumman here alongside Evan Giddings. Talking some Giants. Got an hour left here in today's show, and we have got a lineup for today's matchup. Again, Kaiwei Tang making his season debut wearing number 66. Fun fact, that was my number in freshman and sophomore football back in high school, 66. That is something that everyone gets to know about me now. Going against Kodai Senga. Here is your lineup for today. Elliot Ramos, he will be leading off in left field. Rafi Devers batting second. He is DHing today, so they are not having him play first. Willy Adames, he will be batting third at shortstop. Matt Chapman batting fourth at third base. Batting fifth at first base, Dom Smith. Casey Schmidt, he will be batting sixth at second base. Jung Hoo Lee hitting 270 so far in the month of July. He will be batting seventh in center field. Andrew Kinsner will be getting the start today at catcher, hitting eighth. And Grant McCray, who, man, what a welcome back to the big leagues for Grant McCray last night. He will be hitting ninth and in right field. He got to go against Ryan Helsley and Edwin Diaz in his first two at-bats back from AAA. Yeah, welcome back to the big leagues, kid. That was a fun one for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and two strikeouts. I mean, look, those are two of the premier arms in baseball, and it's just like that. That's no contest.
Yeah, that's a big ask for that kid. So I'm not gonna, you know, be too frustrated with that. But again, strikeouts were an issue for Grant McCray last year and in the minor leagues. So the defense is there. I like the pop in his bat, but yeah, got to limit the strikeouts, though, for him. But I'm not going to hold those two against him because, as you said, those are two of the best arms in the game, and that's a lot to expect there.
Yeah, the guy who I'm kind of interested to see today is actually Kaiwei Tang. He has struck out a lot of batters this year in Sacramento. He's got a 14.5 nearly strikeout per nine ratio for a guy that has been, you know, kind of around 9, 10 throughout his minor league career. So, you know, look, he's going to get the spot for right now. You got Wisenhunt obviously up and back in the rotation, but you know, can Tang be competitive for you? It's a big spot for him. So look, the Giants aren't trotting out the absolute best. Obviously, Yaz was sent off, and their starting rotation towards the back end's kind of been cobbled together. But you need guys to go out and compete, and so I'm curious to see if Tang in his first major league start, along with Wisenhunt, who's got the first one under his belt, can kind of, I don't know, give the Giants a little bit of life.
Yeah, the future coming together. Hopefully Tang's start goes a lot better than any of his performances last year. He was basically used as a mop-up guy last year. He had four appearances last year, gave up two runs, and five runs. The results of the games that he appeared in, there was game, I believe it was four against the Padres. Giants lost that one 13-4. Then they were taking on the Nationals, lost that one 8-1. He was in mop-up duty there. Last year in Tampa underneath the Dome, Giants lost 9-4 to Tampa, and he gave up a pair of runs in that one. And then he was in that 17-1 loss to the Diamondbacks last year, Jorge Soler's home run accounting for the one. Gave up 5 in that one. So he is a starter now, not just a mop-up guy. So hopefully we get a little bit better performances out of him. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text, as well on the Boxer and Gerson injury attorneys text line. Want to go out to the Lions here. Ben in Berkeley. Ben, how are we feeling about Buster Posey and Bob Melvin here on this Saturday morning? You are on the wrap.
What's up, Benny?
Hey, fellas. You know, when you think about Buster Posey and he made the trade for Rafael Devers, the Giants have the worst record in Major League Baseball. And then Craig Breslow of the Boston Red Sox, his team has the best record in Major League Baseball, only trailing the Toronto Blue Jays and the Milwaukee Brewers. So the front office of the Red Sox said that they will win more games without Rafael Devers than with him. And they're exactly right. The Giants don't believe that. Buster Posey doesn't. He won't believe that. He'll never be. And that's why we're losing, because he won't wake up to reality. The Giants are going to lose more games with Rafael Devers than they will win with him, because of the run differential. If you look at the run differential on DraftKings between the Red Sox and the Giants, it's almost, the Red Sox are at a +55. The Giants are at a -55. It's a perfect mirror. The Giants are never going to be able to win because he hits into too many double plays. He can't run. The Giants already struggle against left-handed pitching.
So
he's
Ben,
a left-handed hitter.
Ben, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but sorry, it sounds like you're just already done with Rafi Devers. Are you just giving up on him? There's no hope for the next 8 years?
Well, there's no hope because of Buster Posey. It's not Rafael Devers. It's Buster Posey. He's the one that put this lineup together. You're right. You're exactly right. There is no hope for the next 8 years for the San Francisco Giants, because you got Chapman, Devers, Adames, and Lee. This is the same president of operations that signed Justin Verlander to a $15 million contract. The same guy who started Lamont Wade at first base as a leadoff hitter and did not sign Pete Alonso. So the Giants can keep him for another 5 years, but he's the worst president of baseball operations in all of Major League Baseball. There's no doubt about it. He is not as good as he thought he was. He
all
wasn't
right.
prepared, and now he's got
Ben,
eggs on
Ben, Ben, this is the first year he's been doing it. You're not going to give him any runway to get settled into the job. It's just 4 months into his first season, you're already pulling the plug. It's over. It's cooked for Buster Posey.
It's over. It's cooked for Buster Posey. He needs to start at the bottom and learn the system. You don't just come in at the top like he did, buy your way in through the ownership group, start off at the top and say, oh, he's not even doing the job. He's just relying on all the 15 other people.
I think
Kyle
he's doing
Haynes
a little bit of
the, Manazian,
Ben, I think he's
doing
a little
anything.
Bit of the job here, Ben. I think I appreciate your call there, Ben. But I do
Our
think that
cooked.
I think Buster's doing a little bit better than what Ben, man, how about that? No hope for the next 8 years. That's where we're at. Ben in Berkeley, man. A lot of fun at parties, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and wait it out before I make a judgment about the next 8 years. I'm going to, you know, wait and see. Just that's how I approach things. No, look, has Buster Posey done a fantastic job yet? It's still TBD, man. Like, his moves have not been, I would say, the greatest allocation of resources, you know, 110 games into his first season. But if Devers returns to, I would say, even close to the player he was at the beginning of the year in Boston, I'm not even talking about last year, like just the player he was in Boston when they traded him, then that's absolutely a trade you make. Willy Adames, if he continues to play like this and comes back next year, plays better, that's someone who was or will be a good allocation of resources. Like, it's going to take some time. I just think that people are understandably impatient with a results-based business that has kind of looked the same as the last couple seasons. You know, I think that Buster Posey is somebody who I thought when he took the job, there was going to be a little bit of a learning curve. He's never been an executive before.
Mm-hmm.
He's never worked in a front office. He's never been a scout. he has to rely on a lot of people that have done this job longer than him. But as he learns on the fly, I have to also give him the benefit of the doubt as a great player and a baseball mind, obviously, that he's going to improve. So, you know, the year hasn't gone the way you wanted it to, but you can't rob them of the opportunity to improve. And I do think that he's taken steps to separate himself from the prior regime, which refused to do things like sell at the deadline in recent years.
Again, yeah, Buster's already done so many things that the prior regime wouldn't do. Deciding to sell is one of them, picking a direction. He did get the contract for Willy Adames done. We can sit here and you know, cry and complain until the cows come home about the numbers on that contract, but the fact of the matter is, Willy Adames, as of right now, is looking like a successful signing. I know that we weren't saying that the last time you and I did this show, Evan.
Adames?
But yes, Adames. I said Adames, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say
it's looking good right now.
Successful signing.
It's looking good. I think right now we could say it's looking pretty good.
I mean, if he hits 240 with a 750 OPS for the next 6 years.
Is that we're going to be with Adames? It's just going to be, it'll be up and down maybe the whole time.
He's had a great month, but yeah. I would not call that yet a successful deal.
I think it's okay. I think it's going well so far with him. Especially considering where it was just a few months ago. But if there are those like you who are still not fully in on that, I understand that as well. He's trying to put his stamp on the team. It's not going to happen overnight. I looked at 2019 with Farhan Zaidi I call it a year zero. You see it in college football a lot where the first year it's about evaluating the roster that you have and figuring out who should be staying, who should be going forward, who's going to be a part of the master plan, who's going to be hitting the road. That's what I feel like Buster came into this year thinking, I can hit the ground running with this team and we can do some damage right off the bat. We got Chapman. I can bring in a Willy Adames. I can add a guy like Justin Verlander to help out these younger guys. You know, I understand that logic. I think this year has turned into a bit of a year zero now for Buster because he's not getting fired anytime soon. Buster has a long ramp here to work with.
He's on the board. I mean,
yeah,
he's a part of the ownership group.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure
he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, so Buster's locked into this for the foreseeable future. He's going to get a runway to make this decision. It's far too early to be punting in any semblance right there. Nick in Berkeley, what do you got for the Giants for the rest of the year? How you doing today, bud?
Morning, Ben. Oh, sorry, Nick.
Hey, good, man. Hey, check it out, man. First of all, stop blaming Devers for all everyone's problems, okay? The man changed leagues. He hadn't seen so many pitches before. There's no excuses. Hit the damn ball. Hit a ground ball. The rest of the team needs to hit ground balls. We fly out way too much. Dude, there's nobody on the team hitting over 300. Melvin has put this team in position to win some games. It's up to players that are making a ton of money to go out there and execute their job. Now, if we were getting paid that much to lay concrete and we weren't laying the concrete right, we'd get fired. You know what I mean? What do you mean you do not know how to run the bases? Like, what is the problem? Go practice, bro. Like, you're a professional athlete. There's no excuse for any weakness in your game. You should. If there is, you better be working on it in the offseason. If not, man, just cut these cats, man. Bring up some more guys from the minors. And the fact that the minor league team is in last place speaks volumes. If you're working on losing, then you're working on losing. If you're working on winning, you're working on winning, man. It's levels to this, man. It's for everybody to sit up here and cry and whine. Blame the players, man. They're grown men. They got to play better, man. That's it.
Nick, that was some great stuff. I like that. Just go practice, bro. Thank you very much for the call. Nick in Berkeley, man. He's always on point with what he has to say.
Good stuff, Nick.
Again, we're talking about the patience. We had Sean Dunstan on earlier this week, and he had a great line about, you know, needing to be patient with this team. Just take a look at what he had to say. Take a listen, I should say, not look. This is radio, on what Sean Dunstan had to say about this season and being patient.
Oh, yes, we've all been through that. That's part of the game of baseball. That's why the game is played 162 games. It's not played as a sprint. It's played as a marathon. But when I played it as a sprint. That's how I am. I have a lot of energy, but you have to have patience. Me telling somebody to have patience don't sound right because I don't have no patience. But as I grow older, the patience is kicking in. It's a long season. You got to play. No one's talking too much about the Dodgers. They lose them too, but they had a big lead. That's how it goes. There's always the Giants. But the Giants are going to be all right. The Giants are going to be just fine.
Now, Dunstan, again, he is a special instructor of the team, working with a lot of their younger players in the farm system. So he's got to probably dress it up a little bit in terms of the long-term outlook for this team. But the overall message is true. There is a level of patience that And I know we love having patience in today's instant gratification society, but there is a level of patience that needs to be had here with this process with the Giants. And I feel like this past week, it kind of got driven home a little bit more. When you look at this team on the surface, you want to say playoffs, but there's still underlying issues underneath the hood here and around the margins of this team that need to be addressed. They tried to do it this year. It didn't quite work out, but that by no means that the next few years are absolutely cooked. Like, they could easily finish strong this year. It's not, I'm not going to hold my breath on it, but it's certainly possible. But next year is still very much in play for this team to be a competitive, successful baseball team. The pieces are there. Can they get the ancillary parts around it? That's kind of what it's be interesting to see these next couple months. But yeah, there is a level of patience, I think, that still needs to be had, which is really tough, Evan, when in the last 8-9 years, this team's been in the playoffs once, and that's where the impatience meets the requirement for patience. And that's just tough for Giants fans to be in. Like, I get it. I'm right there with all of them, but it's the reality that we as Giants fans just kind of need to accept right now is that patience is a virtue you're going to need to have a little bit more of than maybe you want.
Well, I think people are sobering up now, but everyone was pretty drunk on the first 60 games.
Like, absolutely. I was hammered.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard not to. And I think that's what's been frustrating about watching the last 6 weeks and them spiral is they were a team that we thought was ahead of schedule. And the reality is they're not. They're right on schedule, which is Buster Posey has to remove some of the stench and some of the smear from the Farhan Zaidi era. I think that's God love him, but that's why you traded Yaz. I thought they should have tried to trade Flores at the deadline.
I agree.
Verlander's a little bit different because he has a no trade clause, but that's someone
Detroit or Houston, I think, would have definitely taken him back to help them out.
Yeah, I mean, you can't give him up for nothing, though.
Well, I mean, I don't know what those calls would have looked like, but again, you just made a great point, though. What made the season disappointing is you thought this team was ahead of schedule, but they're actually on schedule. And that, I think, is the important thing of what you said. They're on schedule. It's not like they're behind schedule. It's not like they're going in the wrong direction. They're still going in a positive direction. It's just not as positive a direction as Giants fans maybe thought it was 6-7 weeks ago, which, that's the that's baseball aspect of it. But yeah, that absolutely is going to feed into the disappointment and the feelings surrounding this year. As we're hitting almost the final stretch here, you got 40 minutes about left in this show. I want to have a bit of a Bob Melvin conversation because you start off the show bringing this up, Evan. I agree with you. Bob Melvin might be managing for his job for the next couple months. And I'm just kind of curious, I want to get your opinion on this. Just what needs to happen in the next 2 months? 888-957-9570. I want to get the callers in on this too. But what needs to happen over these next 2 months for Bob Melvin to be guaranteed to return next season? Or is this a situation where I'm curious how many Giants fans were, no matter how these next 2 months go, do they want to see a change at the managing position? But I want to get your opinions first, Evan. Just how do you kind of handicap these next 2 months here for Bob Melvin?
I mean, it's his job to lose. Like, he's got his option for next year picked up by Posey. I think that was and they did it during a not a good stretch either. So I think that Posey believes that Melvin is the manager for this team next season. That said, if things continue to spiral, if this team continues to stink, and I would say really, if they continue to not demonstrate an ability to play fundamental baseball. I mean, that's as much as I think it was Nick in Berkeley. He's right. It is on the players. At some point, that's the resume of your coach. Mm-hmm. Yes, Pat Burrell can't hit for these guys. But if you can't hit for a full season, that's on the hitting coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I gotta put some blame at his feet. If this team misses the playoffs and ends up 15 games below 500, that's two consecutive seasons for Bob Melvin in which his team has really sputtered at the end of the year. Last year, they finished two games below. This year, you'd like to see them above 500. But if they just continue to kick themselves in the and shoot themselves in the foot, like, I have no other place to look than the manager. I think that Bob Melvin is a good manager, but his team has not played good baseball, and that's not something I can ignore. And I think that Buster Posey showed us at the deadline that he can't ignore stuff like that. I don't think that Buster Posey wanted to sell at the deadline. In fact, I think he was looking for any semblance of life from this team to add to it, to try to make them as competitive as possible. But he had to basically, I think, take what we're all taking as fans, media members, and that's just the reality that this team is not very good right now. So that falls at the feet of Bob Melvin. I think it's his job to lose. If I had to bet now, I think he'll be back next year, because I also think that this team is good enough to win some games down the stretch and be in the hunt. You know, not necessarily make the playoffs, but if they're in an August and September chase, and you know they're looking 5-4 back of the wild card, yeah, I think Melvin absolutely keeps his job.
Yeah, So a few weeks ago, my stance on Bob Melvin was playoffs or bust. Just with the team he had, I thought it was good enough to where, yes, this should be a playoff team, and if it's not in the playoffs, it's hard not to have that be a negative reflection on the manager. I'm not quite there anymore. In fact, I'm not there anymore, because it got a little bit harder to make the playoffs for this team this week in terms of moving off of the guys they...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did. So I think at this point, the performance the next 2 months is going to matter far more than the record or the final result. Or the process is going to matter more than the result the rest of the way. If they go on a surprise run and have a winning record and even make the playoffs, then yeah, obviously Bob is back. I do think, though, that if these next 2 months are full of just, again, you talk about signs of progress, feeling better about the direction of this team. If the next 2 months are a lot of just the same issues, lackluster play in the field, mental mistakes on the base paths, not coming through in with the situational hitting, if the play is uninspired, then at that point, yeah, it becomes a negative reflection on Bob Melvin and the coaching staff. And if that ends up being what these next 2 months look like, it becomes a little bit harder and harder to envision Bob Melvin still being the manager of this team going into next year. And I think an extra wrinkle that you can throw into here, Evan, and I brought this up at the end of June when I was, when it was Dan and I in here. You got a guy in Texas whose contract is up after this year. And yes, I am going down there. I'm going down the Bruce Bochy hole right now. If there is a situation where Bruce Bochy is available this winter, if I'm Buster Posey, at minimum, you're doing your due diligence in making the call to see if there's anything there to make something happen. Outside of that, I mean, again, I don't know who else might be available. Maybe the Giants go and try and poach like a Steven Vogt or a Will Venable from, you know, the Guardians or the White Sox, respectively. There will be options. And if those options are more appealing, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Buster, who is going to find the best option possible for every spot, makes that phone call. There's a long way to go to get there. And as you said, it is obviously Bob Melvin's job to lose. All the odds are in his favor to prevent him from losing it. But there's also a situation where, again, if the slide keeps getting worse or just does not get better, it becomes, I think, a lot easier to justify making a switch at that position after this year.
Yeah, and this is, well, it's a conversation for down the line, but you brought it up. Why would Bruce Bochy want to manage this team?
Well, my guess is, I mean, there
like,
are...
Let's say this, you know, his contract is up. I think the Rangers are going to make the playoffs, and that is...
Which will obviously change things, yeah.
Yeah, but like, seriously, why would Bruce Bochy want to leave the Texas Rangers for the same... I know we all would love him to, but why would he do that?
Well, I think you have the familiarity aspect of it here in San Francisco. We can get into this more on the other side, but I do think, again, this is a relationships business. What brought him to Texas? Who's the general manager there? Chris Young, one of his former players. Who is in charge of baseball operations here in San Francisco? Buster Posey, one of his former players. Buster and Bruce, they do have a good relationship, but you know, there's a lot of people in the building down there at Oracle Park who were still there during the Bruce Bochy era. I absolutely think there are appealing reasons for Bruce Bochy to come home next year and manage the Giants for a second time, should all the dominoes, you know, fall in the correct order. So we can talk about this a little bit more on the other side, as well as just what the expectations are for this team here in the last 2 months of the 2025 season. 30 minutes ago, it's Sam Lubman at Evan Giddings. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed here in San Francisco. And all that brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
We finally
count out because we're coming to the end. I like that. It's good to I've done that. Oh, last stretch here on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lubman here with Evan Giddings here as we wrap up the show here. And talk about what our expectations are for the Giants here these last 2 months of the year, coming off the trade deadline where the Giants moved off of Tyler Rogers, Mike Yastrzemski, and Camilo Doval here. And before the break, we were kind of talking about what the expectations for Bob Melvin are down the stretch and how much his job is going to be online. Again, it's does he? I'm kind of curious from Giants fans, 888-957-9570. You know, do they want to see Bob Melvin come back next year? I guess that's part of it. But is Bob Melvin, in your opinion, managing for his job? Or is this a situation where you are putting it more on the players than the coaching staff? And it's on the coaching staff to show you, or sorry, it's on the players to show you that they belong here next year rather than the coaching staff. So love to hear from Giants fans on that here. But again, so getting into what the expectations are the rest of the year, this is still a team, when you look at it on paper, that is still very much good enough to win. Bob Melvin was asked about this pregame yesterday in terms of what he's expecting from this team down the stretch. Here's what he had to say on that matter.
We didn't play well enough to put ourselves in a position to buy. And obviously we've made some moves, but I don't think it changes our mindset as a team. We have really good players here. So, you know, we'll put Randy in the closer's role. That's a plus for us to have somebody like that that can pitch into the closer's role. Buto's here, and he's a nice arm as well. We've gotten contributions from other guys in the bullpen that are still end up being a strength for us. And basically from the position player group, it's pretty much the same. All our core pieces that we've signed here for the long term are all still here. So the mindset of the team has not changed on how, you know, we go out there and play and what our goals are. So for Buster, tough balancing the now and the future, but didn't take away enough of the now for us not to have the same aspirations that we do.
So again, I think most of that is based on the fact that the lineup is more or less the same. You don't have Mike Yastrzemski anymore, but he was kind of transitioning out of an everyday role as they tried to bring Luis Matos into the fold here. So the talent is there for this team to still be competitive down the stretch. I don't know if playoffs are the fair expectation anymore. Again, according to Fangraphs, there is an 8.6% chance that the Giants can make the playoffs, but
playoffs, you know,
there is precedent. The Tigers did it last year, and Bob Melvin was asked about that as well, and here's what he had to say about the concept of, even though you sold off, there you could still make a run.
I don't feel like it was a big sell-off for us based on who we still have here. So, I mean, we didn't do like the Twins did. So I think we're trying to strike a balance of keeping a group here that we still are optimistic about. So I don't think our mindset has changed here. We don't feel great about the way we played for the last month, and we know we have to right that. And the first thing is going out there and trying to win some baseball games, because that's been difficult for us, but the mindset hasn't changed.
I mean, basically, it's very simple, Evan. You've been hearing about a lot of these guys. They have to play up to what their track records have suggested they're capable of doing. Like, I'm just tired of hearing so much. Again, we're talking about, you know, we were saying it a lot early on. Oh, Adames, he's going to be fine. He has a track record. It'll come around. And it did start to come around, and we are starting to feel better about Willie Adames. But we've been saying the same thing about Rafi Devers. Dave Fleming, I think, when he comes on the morning roast, it seems like he's saying it once a week. Guys, Rafi's going to be fine. Rafi's going to be fine. It's going to come around. Rafi's going to be fine. He just needs to get to adjust. It's, you know, a similar thing with Matt Chapman at times. You know what he's going to bring. You know, he's going to be fine. It'll come around. It's just, there's too much relying on the track records of this team. And when those track records aren't coming to fruition, yeah, that's where the frustration then starts to bubble up for Giants fans here. But it comes down to, it's just, do you believe that this lineup is capable of playing up to the expectations that these guys have set for themselves throughout their careers and at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I mean, they did it, you know. Like
they did, yeah.
They were 12 games above 500 at one point. They clearly can play, they clearly can hit better. They clearly can play better. Doing it all at the same time has been the difficult part. And in regards to Melvin's, you know, interpretation of what Posey did, I think he's kind of spot on. Like, I didn't view this as a fire sale. And I didn't look at this deadline like the Giants needed to sell off a bunch of pieces. Because I don't believe that they think they're that far away. They just had to admit that they're closer to being sellers than buyers because of what happened the last 6 weeks. You know, if things had gone differently, I think they might have been a team like Cincinnati. Cincinnati is probably not better than the Padres, the Mets, or I think the Phillies are the other wild card team, along with, I forget who
it's, the third right team now. Is. The wild card standings are the Cubs, Mets,
yeah,
and Padres hold that sixth spot. The Reds are the first team out. They're 3.5 games back. Then the Giants, 6 games back. Cardinals, 6.5 games. Miami Marlins sneak into the picture, sort of. They're 7 games back.
Yeah, so the Marlins didn't really sell. The Cardinals did a little bit. They obviously got off their closer. The Giants did a little bit, but the Reds, meanwhile, traded for a third baseman. They traded for Ke'Bryan Hayes. They added Zach Littell, who's a starting pitcher and has really helped the Rays this year. So I think Posey would have liked to do something along those lines as opposed to what he did. Like, the Reds are not better than the three teams in front of them, but they're in a push mode. They're in a push position. And so I kind of respect that. You know, Bob Melvin is, I think, right to look at what the deadline brought for the Giants as some, you know, a little bit of replenishing the system, but not really giving up all hope on the year, because they still got some players that can help this team try to push towards October. And I think what they did was try and play it down the middle. You know, time will tell if that was a wise decision, but Buster Posey, I think, tried to serve two masters during this deadline, which was get you a little bit of help, close to ready help in your minor league system, and also basically sell from a position of strength because this bullpen has been really good this year and a couple of guys that you could afford to let go of.
Almost like a two timelines, as some people might say. But no, and I agree with your saying there because, yeah, that obviously the pieces were there. And I, like a lot of people say, oh, the Giants need to do a rebuild. You know, that's what this is. The Giants are in rebuild mode. I would not use that word. I would, this deadline, if I were to describe it with one word, is this was kind of like a repositioning, so to speak. So like the Giants had to reposition themselves because, again, yeah, they don't have a lot of depth in their farm system. They need to add some beef there. They need to add some pitching depth to their farm system in that, you know, hopefully they'll get a little bit of that with that in Blade Tidwell. They did take care of some other needs along with Drew Gilbert. They did need an extra outfielder there. They do need to plant a catcher. That's what Jesus Rodriguez did. There was a realization that not all of your resources were up to snuff here in terms of what you need in order to compete. And I do commend Buster Posey for just, and this is a guy, Buster, who has said in the past, like, you should always be in win now mode. That's always the goal. It was to try and win. That's what he was when he was here as a player. The Giants were always in win now mode when he was here. The only times that the Giants really truly sold in Buster Posey's tenure as a player was in 2017 when they moved Eduardo Nunez at the deadline. There's 2018 when they flipped Andrew McCutchen for Abdiel Avellino. And then there's 2019. And none of those were big-time sell jobs except for maybe 2019, which, again, I call that more of a repositioning that I did as a sell-off or a rebuild move there. So Buster, I feel like, and I like that line. He's serving two masters here. He's trying to straddle the line. I do like how he more or less straddled the line because it does keep the concept of competition down the stretch wide open here for the Giants. I'm curious here, Evan, here in the final 15-ish minutes of the show, looking at this roster, there are three guys, again, we all know are going to be back next year no matter what. Rafi Devers, Willy Adames, Matt Chapman. Barring something completely unforeseen, those three will be in this lineup next year. But the other six spots, there's definitely some up for grabs here. When you look at this lineup, who do you want to put under a magnifying glass these next few months here? And just like, however much we've been focusing on this guy before, we need to focus on him a little bit more because what role he's able to play for this team is going to be very important next year. Who's the guy you want to put under a bit of a bigger microscope, magnifying glass, and words, down the stretch?
It's Patrick Bailey. I really don't think it's even that close. He's played 306 games at the big league level, and he's got a career OPS of 620. I know he won the Gold Glove last year. I know he's had some big moments, walk-off home run, inside the park or on line one. But I cannot have an everyday catcher that has no ability to hit double-digit home runs, doesn't have much gap-to-gap power, strikes out a lot, and isn't going to hit for an average above 230, which is his career high mark. You know, I think he profiles to me right now as more of a backup catcher. Like, I'm not saying he's not a big leaguer, but to have that guy in your order right now, I think severely limits what you can do. And they have a lot of those guys, by the way, but Patrick Bailey is someone they're going to have to make a choice about. Are you willing to essentially live with nothing, depending on where he's hitting in the order? I'm assuming 7, 8, 9, just because he's a decent defender. You know, one of the things that also makes him valuable behind home plate might be becoming a bit archaic due to the automated strike zone that's eventually going to hit Major League Baseball, and that's framing. So I think that Patrick Bailey he's obviously a plus behind home plate, but out of all the guys that I'm looking at, and I know he's still under team control and he's relatively cheap, but to me, Patrick Bailey is somebody that they're going to have to make a choice on. And I can't imagine that Buster Posey, being the catcher, Hall of Famer that he is, or future Hall of Famer that he is loving watching a guy with a 568 OPS across 88 games this year with two home runs, one of which didn't even leave the park. I can't imagine that Buster Posey is very happy with what he's gotten from his catcher this season and what he's seen for the first three years of Bailey's career.
No, and again, right on point there. And I think with Bailey, the most frustrating thing is the offense. We thought, first, the offense he had when he first came up, you knew it wasn't sustainable because so much of the damage he was doing was from the right side of the plate, which he has never had success from the right side of the plate at any level other than a couple of months when he first came up in 2023. And man, it just feels so crazy to think that we were actually at the time saying, oh, is this the next Buster Posey? No, Patrick Bailey is never, ever, 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 ever going to be mentioned in the same sense as Buster Posey. Even at the time, it was absurd to make such claims because A, it wasn't true, and B, it's far too great of an expectation to immediately think that a guy a couple weeks into his career is going to be, you know, replacing the legendary Hall of Fame catcher that preceded him. I mean, that's like saying the next point guard for the Warriors is definitely going to be as good as Steph.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No, that's just a ridiculous expectation to put on anybody in that situation. But then you go, you know, since then, though, the regression of Bailey, the offensive regression, again, you knew it was coming because he was hitting way over his head. It's regressed far more than I think anyone would have anticipated. The really concerning regression, though, for me with Patrick Bailey is it is a little bit on the defensive end. He did get the Gold Glove last year, and for the rest of his career, he's always going to be known as Patrick Bailey, Gold Glove winning catcher. And that's going to look really good on the resume. You know, whenever his lineup is shown on the TV, they're going to have a little golden glove, little icon next to him there. And that'll be really cool for him. But that doesn't, just because you win a Gold Glove once doesn't mean you're always a Gold Glover for the rest of your career. There's a lot of players out there throughout the history of this game that have one Gold Glove on their resume. I hope that's not the case for Patrick Bailey. I don't think he's going to be in the running for a Gold Glove this year. He's had some good moments defensively. But I feel like there's been a regression defensively. A lot of that tied into the whole one knee down thing. And this is something that Shasky and I have talked about a lot and argued about a lot in the mornings on the morning roast. He hates it. I think there is definitely a place for it. Patrick Bailey's strike stealing ability has been a massive asset for the Giants these last couple of years. Buster Posey, when he joined the broadcast booth on Sunday Night Baseball last weekend against the Mets, he was asked about it, and I thought the way that he summed it up, it was absolutely perfect. Here's what he had to say last week, Buster Posey on Sunday Night Baseball, talk about the one knee down technique for catchers.
I like the one knee. I wish I did it my last year playing and think it would have saved my hip some. I do think there's still a time, you know, runner on third base, you got to block that ball. And if you don't feel like you can, you know, slide out and get to a pitch, well, maybe you need to try something different than being on a knee. And you might sacrifice one of those fringe pitches in that situation. So to me, it's always about looking at the scoreboard, and the scoreboard is going to tell you how you should act defensively and offensively.
And so I like, there's two things he says there that I like. One, that he wished he did it more because it could have helped his hips out a little bit. And I do think, yeah, that's a positive of it. There is also the ability to steal those low strikes, which Patrick Bailey has been very good at. How much that matters with ABS next year remains to be seen. But there's a time and a place, and this is where Patrick Bailey needs to get better behind the plate. You don't always need to be one knee down. There are times where you got to just be in the traditional squat so you can throw guys out. There is times you need to be in the traditional squat because his ability to block baseballs has regressed a little bit this year, especially when there's a guy on third base. That can cost you runs. Those are the kind of things I need to see improvement from Patrick Bailey here down the stretch. Again, we're talking about, you know, who are you putting under a magnifying glass here down the stretch here for the Giants over these last 2 months. The guy for me, it's got to be Jung-Hoo Lee. And this is the guy who, again, he hit a lot in the KBO. He's a consistent 300, 320 hitter when he was playing in the KBO. Ever since he's come to the Giants, though, it's all been about, can he adjust to Major League Baseball pitching? Can he adjust to this level of play? And so far this year, the adjustment's been pretty rough. It's just, you saw it a little bit in April when everything was going well. He had probably one of the better approaches at the plate on this team. But the last 4 months, it has just been a grind with Jung-Hoo Lee at bats. And it's just all the more frustrating watching him grind through these at bats, watching him grind through, you know, the mistakes in the field every now and then, when you consider the money he was signed for and the excitement that this fan base has for him. The Jung-Hoo Lee fan, the Jung-Hoo crew, the Jung-Hoo Lee Gans, they have been steadfast in their support for Jung-Hoo Lee. And I love that. I love fans who get behind a player to that level there. And I want to see those fans rewarded for the support they're giving to Jung-Hoo Lee. But it's just, Evan, I feel like with Jung-Hoo Lee, we're really seeing this year how badly he needed last year to be a full season. Instead, he got that shoulder injury on Mother's Day that just, you know, ended his season. And any adjustments and developments that are happening this year, it would have been so much better if he could have just had those happen last year, get those out of the way then. And I feel like it's just, he is a year behind, a year and a half into his career. And it's just, it's getting to the point now where if you're of the mindset where you're wondering if Jung-Hoo Lee is even a big league ball player, I totally understand it. These next 2 months, I need to see something from Jung-Hoo Lee that'll make me think, you know what? I don't know if he's as good as he was in the KBO, but he's better than what we're seeing now, and he's worth keeping on this roster next year, because that's a guy where if it doesn't work out, it's gonna be, he's going to be taking up a spot for a while on this roster, and you're not going to want him to.
Well, I think he's obviously a big league player. I mean, is he a good one? I don't think so. You know, he certainly hasn't been one in his first 600 plate appearances that he's gotten in the majors. You know, what's kind of shocked me a bit about Lee this season is it feels like he's regressed a little bit defensively. And I don't know, maybe the shoulder injury and crashing into the wall kind of did something to him upstairs, but you know, he doesn't have as much range as I feel like I was promised. I don't think he's that fast. You know, I think he stands out in their outfield because they don't have many good ones. You know, Elliot Ramos makes him look like a really good center fielder, but if you look at some of the metrics, he doesn't get to a ton of balls. And the only thing that's actually kind of a plus about his defensive capabilities, oddly enough, is actually his arm. And that's not going to be good enough to stick around when you got an OPS of 710. You're hitting about average. I think that, look, on a good team, he's probably a bottom three hitter, and maybe he plays some center field. Maybe he's a fourth outfielder. But the other thing too is, like, he got off to such a hot start that again, I just think when teams eventually made an adjustment to him, he has not been able to adjust. Like, he hasn't hit a home run in 60 games.
Yeah. I mean, that was never going to be a part of his game, but you think you could at least run into one at some point.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to hit at Oracle Park, especially if you're a lefty. But, like, you got to run into one. And he hasn't at all. And it's not just the home run capabilities. Like, he doesn't really hit for extra bases. You know, he's kind of a contact hitter who doesn't make a lot of contact. And that's a problem. I think that he's less of an issue than some of the other guys in their lineup, but he's absolutely a problem. And that's why, again, you know, to kind of take the words from Sean Dunstan, patience is going to be key here, because there's a lot of players that were brought in by Farhan Zaidi, Jung-Hoo Lee probably being the poster child of them, that Buster Posey's going to have to make difficult decisions on, and he's going to have to find ways to upgrade these positions or extract more from the players there. You know, if Jung-Hoo Lee is not going to be the player that we were promised as a $100 million guy, well, then you might have to think about maybe next season trying to see what you can get for him, or moving off of him or selling low. You know, maybe you figure out during this time that Grant McRae might be more of a serviceable center fielder, and certainly one that's cheaper.
Yeah, and this is where, and as we get out of here, there's very little precedent when it comes for guys like Jung-Hoo Lee. And I mean it's guys who have come over from the KBO and stuck and had success. I'm looking at a list of great hitters to come over from South Korea who have played in the KBO or played in other leagues. But you got guys like the best hitter out of Korea in the last 20 years has been Shin Soo-Chu, who had a great 16-year career. Outside of that, though, the hitters coming out of there, it's not a whole lot. G-Man Choi, he came out of Korea. He had a moment with the Rays in 2020. That's about it. Hee-Sop Choi, I remember him. He had some moments here or there. None of them all that particularly incredible. And then of that, you got, you know, some pitchers here. You got Byung-Young Kim, the submariner, who I hated him when he was on the Diamondbacks. Chan-Ho Park, Hyun-Jin Ryu. Those are some pitchers who have had some success. The guy who I've always looked to as a comparison, though, has been his old teammate in the KBO, and that's Ha-Sung Kim, who got off to a rough start his first year in the big leagues after coming over from the KBO, was a little better in his second year, and then he was an all-star in his third year. He's had some injury issues as of late, which has kind of slowed him down. That's kind of the path I look at with Jung-Hoo Lee, where it's, you know, you're here your rookie year, can you get better in your second year, and can you feel established in your third year? That was always my initial kind of, you know, path for Jung-Hoo Lee in terms of just like that's kind of the expectation that I'm going to hold him for. Now, though, it just with the setbacks he's had, with the lack of improvements he's having, it's getting harder and harder to see that path developing. I'm going to hold out hope for Jung-Hoo Lee. I want to believe that the guy that we saw in April is still in there. But these next 2 months, it's very much like, I don't need him to be hitting 330 the rest of the year. I just need him. I don't really care so much about the stats even. It's just what I'm seeing on the field needs to look better. If the play is better, the stats will take care of themselves. But I need Jung-Hoo Lee over these next 2 months to play at a level that makes me feel comfortable with him being on this team going forward. It's simple as that. What that actually does look like at the end, we'll probably know it when we see it. But the pressure is on Jung-Hoo Lee to show that he does belong on this team going into next year. So with that said, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Evan, thank you very much for waking up with me for a third day in a row. You have to do the morning roast 2 days, then you got to do this. That's tough. That's a tough schedule there, but
it's a little easier to wake up at 7:30 or 8 as opposed to waking up at 3:30.
Absolutely.
So, I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on. We got Mark Grandy will be on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap next weekend. Zach Green, he will be there too. We might even have Steven Rizzotto wandering around the station on that day even as well. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Giants play the Mets at 4:00 today. Kaiwei Tang on the mound against Kodai Senga. Hopefully we can make it 2 in a row. And then maybe they can win on Sunday. And that, folks, is what I hear is called a winning streak. Shout out Lou Brown. And until next time, everyone, don't forget, Dodgers suck.
Later, dudes.
Later, Rip.
Hang pen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.